Hello, everyone. We are 2 weeks away from Chicago Bears training camp. Welcome to Pro Football Weekly's Chicago Football Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane. It is a rainy day in July, but as I said, the Bears will be in Bourbonnais in just 2 weeks. And we have a fun episode for you today. We are going to be talking to Maggie Hendricks and Amanda Kashubi of the Hair Low Chicago podcast. And Maggie writes for USA Today Sports, Amanda for the Chicago Tribune. She's their breaking news sports news editor. Really fun interview with them, kind of previewing the Bears and talking a lot about this city and how they are not really embracing the Bears and what there is to embrace about this team. Remember, you can follow all of our work on Twitter at Bears_insider, on the line at profootballweekly.com/Bears. I am at Kate Fishbane, also on Snapchat at Bears_insider. And please subscribe on iTunes if you have not already. Just look up the PFW Chicago or Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. And hey, give us a 5-star rating and a review while you are there. It is we're taping this on July 12th. The Bears report on July 26th. Their first practice is on July 27th. So we are starting to also do our training camp preview story. So if you go to profootballweekly.com/Bears, you'll see in-depth previews of each position. We've done quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers this week. Tight ends coming Thursday, offensive line Friday, and the defensive side of the ball next week. But I want to jump right to our interview with Maggie and Amanda. But first, a shout out to our sponsor this week. It is Loot Crate. If you head to lootcrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W, use our promo code Shaw, you get $3 off your first crate. You only have one more week to get the July crate, and you're going to want to get this one because the theme this week involves Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Bob's Burgers, Futurama, and Rick and Morty. It is an animation-themed crate. I've talked a lot on the show about how much I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when I was a kid, and as an easy Halloween gift. Futurama, also a great show. Remember, you're going to get a T-shirt and pin in every crate. Epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Subscribe now at Loot Crate. Use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. You will get $3 off your first crate. Now let's jump to our interview with the host of Hair Low Chicago. It's my pleasure now to welcome in the women of the Hair Low Chicago podcast, Maggie Hendricks and Amanda Kashubi, to the Chicago Football podcast. You can follow Maggie on Twitter at Maggie Hendricks and see her work at USA Today and hear her on The Score. Amanda's at Amanda Kashubi. She's the Chicago Tribune breaking sports editor. And before we get right in, actually, no, we're going to get right into this. I was listening to Hair Low Chicago from right after the NFL draft, and you guys called the Bears the biggest dumpster fire in Chicago. We are a Jimmy Butler trade and a Cubs falling apart have happened since then. The Blackhawks are trading players away. Do you stand by the Bears dumpster fire label?
Yeah, I do. Because the thing is like there's still these little bits of hope. And even with some of the stupidity of the Bulls, like the Bulls are close. The Bulls are like the garbage fire of like the size garbages that the city gives you, but not quite a dumpster yet.
I mean, I feel like the Bears haven't made any news yet, so I've almost kind of forgotten about their dumpster fire of a draft. So they need to do something. Like someone needs to go and stub their toe or, you know, accidentally tweet something offensive to get them back up. Because I feel like the Bulls have overtaken them a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, they're like 1A and 1B. I mean, they're just right neck and neck with each other.
Well, I think, too, what's interesting about the Bulls is Garpax, mainly Gar, has so little respect from fans in Chicago. And I think the one thing going for the Bears, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think Bears fans still like Ryan Pace or still kind of trust him. At least they enjoy hearing him talk about the philosophy of the team. So I feel like Ryan Pace is still kind of ahead in terms of the GM battle with Garpax. I know that's a low bar. Amanda, I'll go to you first. But like the Ryan Pace aspect of it, at least he's a, you know, a charming guy. I feel like Bears fans still are kind of on his side with things.
Well, he gets a fresh haircut, like, yes. Well, every other day, maybe. Yeah. So at least the public face is a good face. His voice is very clear. There's actually a Fire Garpax billboard that's going up in the West Loop. I think it's next week. within a couple miles, or not miles, blocks from the United Center. So there's yet to be a fire pace one up by Hallis Hall. So I think that's your barometer right there too.
But at the same time, that barometer is more, I think, that people aren't caring about the bears. Like, they're expecting them to be a dumpster fire at this point. And, like, I don't even know if Ryan Pace is registering as much as, like, the flaming hot hatred right now for GarPax.
Well, yeah, I think it'll take just one Mike Glennon interception in a couple of weeks, or, like, Mitch Trubisky, you know, drops a snap. Or, you know, maybe he comes to Bourbonnais in his car, he got a new car, and suddenly we lose this illusion of the humble man with the 100,000 mile car from his grandma. And
I want to punch that story so badly. It bothers me so much. I don't know why.
And Amanda, cause you're always on top of the photos that come out of the Chicago sports scene, you know, that 2 weeks from today, when the Bears report to Bourbonnais, someone is going to want to try to get a picture of that car. And for one more day, or maybe two, until we get to talk to Mitch, that's still going to be a story.
And I will throw this out there. I will give someone $50 if they can get me a photo of the car being brought in on a flatbed and then, like, push the last block in the camp, because there's no way he's driving that thing. And if he is, he shouldn't be, because, I mean, what is it, like a Oldsmobile, a Cutlass? Like, I mean, I don't know what it is, and it's probably in good shape, but you don't want your prized possession driving cross country in grandma's old car. Like, that just doesn't make me, probably doesn't even have two airbags, just one airbag. It's not safe. So $50
if someone can prove. Yeah. If there's any team in the world whose number one pick would end up getting hurt in a car accident because his car breaks down on the way to camp, it's the Chicago Bears.
Because they thought it was, like, a cute story. No, get the man a tank, wrap him in bubble wrap, send him on his way to camp.
Well, just put him in a Honda Civic. I don't even need it to be, like, a flashy car. Just put him in something reliable. Come on.
Hey, I will be taking my Honda Civic to Bourbonnais, and I expect to get there in one piece. And Mitch Trubisky and I don't have a lot in common, but, you know, maybe we could have the automobile in common. I do remember, though, and John Sally, you remember this as well, 3 years ago, Jay Cutler's conversion van was the biggest story in the first day of training camp. And someone's going to have to top it this year. We haven't had anything close in the past couple of years, but I do miss we'll get to Jay Cutler later in the conversation, because I saved the best for last in these interviews. But the conversion van was nice. I want to get to another thing that we talk about. I'm always very interested to talk to media members in Chicago who don't cover the Bears daily, but obviously follow what's going on, and what your take on John Fox is. Because obviously those of us that cover the team every day, we have our opinion on how he kind of handles the media. I think a lot of fans, some fans agree with us. A lot of fans are kind of like, who cares? He can do whatever he wants. But as media members, but you're not necessarily there with him every day, from what you observe and what you hear from John Fox, Maggie, I'll start with you first. What's kind of your take on Foxy?
Well, I mean, his, like, paranoia of the media is so unearned and so weird that it just kind of makes it harder and less interesting to cover the Bears when he's keeping everybody. It's not even an arm's distance away. It's like four arms distance away. And it's just kind of weird. And, like, there are things that he does that I think are interesting, and his press conferences are usually fairly interesting. But just the whole, like, you can't videotape this and you can't share this. And it's like, well, why are you so paranoid of the media? What the heck happened, man? So I don't know. I just kind of find him weird.
His voice reminds me of my high school band teachers, where he just needs a lozenge 24/7. So that's kind of grating. And I actually do think that people, like non-media people, have picked up on the ridiculousness that you can't comment if a guy, like, drops a pass, or if there's an injury, you have to be super vague. So I think it's kind of permeating everywhere else, and people think it's a little, like Maggie said, paranoid for no good reason. Like, if you're the Patriots, sure, you've won a crap ton, so some of that is warranted, but what are you trying to hide? Like, why can't you tweet? I don't understand that.
And I think, too, you know, you bring up the Patriots, which is kind of the obvious comparison. Bill Belichick still says more than John Fox. He just does it in a very grumpy,
terrifying
way. Yeah. Because, like, because one of the things that Foxy does, which is something that kind of bothers me, because There's, as you guys know, there's so many new players on the Bears the last couple of years. So we're trying to get to know these guys, and we want to know what these players do well. Why did the Bears sign this player? Why did they draft this player? Ryan Pace is good at this stuff, but John Fox will not give you that. Bill Belichick will spend 2 hours telling you about, you know, Tom Brady's accuracy. But if you ask John Fox, hey, John, what does Mike Glennon do well? He'll just shrug his shoulders, and then you're lost. And we're trying to tell the fans about some of these people because you don't know anything. I mean, and that leads me to this team, this roster. If you are a Chicagoan, a football fan, a Bears fan, someone who wants this team to do well, what is there to be excited about this season?
Sorry.
their team colors are nice.
Navy looks good on everybody.
Yeah.
Slimming, it's good.
I would say the 2018 draft, that's something to be excited for. To see if the Bears have the number one pick. They haven't had that since 1947, so they're due.
How fun would it be? How exciting would the reaction of the city be if all hell breaks loose this year? Glennon's bad. You know, they kind of rush Trubisky in late, and they actually get the number one pick next year and then draft another quarterback.
Oh, yeah, they'll still mess it up.
No, they'll mess it up.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I mean, I must want Mike Glennon to do well. I actually saw him once at Restoration Hardware, so, you know, we're friends. Okay. We're really tight. Just because, I mean, whatever, he's not a flashy quarterback, but he's not, and that's not really why they signed him. But it's going to be interesting because if he doesn't play, if he just plays okay, which I think is what – you know, his bar is at, and then he's basically run out of town after a year because they want the number two pick to play, that will be an interesting, like, way to spin it, because they're not going to say, well, he didn't live up to expectations. It's like, well, we drafted this guy even though we had a quarterback and are bad. Sorry, just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think about, like, what the things to be excited about, and I think they're just more like watching a car crash kind of excitement. Like what is going to be, you know, you can't look away from when it's bad, and that there could be a quarterback drama, though it's a quarterback drama between two not all that great quarterbacks is, you know, not exciting, but still that there is some sort of drama, there's some sort of interest. But I mean, otherwise, like I was just looking at the Bears website. And you know how most teams will have, like, it's their wallpaper of their website, the background of the website. They'll have their really biggest star players. For the Bears right now, it is Mike Glennon and Leonard Floyd. Like, that to me says a whole lot about even their expectations for the season and their inability to find someone. You know, you were asking before about who the fan, you know, you're trying to get the fans to connect with these players. And I just don't see those connections happening because – A, they're changing the roster so much every year, but B, like the players that they have, I just don't see them making those connections with the city.
And I think right now, and we're talking about this kind of at the end of the show, but Jordan Howard is the best player probably on the team if you're just looking at what they did last year. And Jordan Howard's obviously getting pretty involved in Chicago charity. I think Chicago Magazine profiled him as one of their, you know, young people to watch in the city. But, you know, he had one good year. And so, and it's still tons of question marks about what he can do, you know, the next year. And again, he's not someone that Bears fans are going to be excited about. So this is the way I'll turn the question to you to kind of, you know, plug the Harrelow Chicago podcast. Which, if you could have any current Bear on the Harrelow Chicago podcast, who would you want?
Ooh, probably Kyle Long.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have hair, he is more interesting and outspoken and comes from an interesting NFL family. And if he could bring his brother on too, because his brother's even more interesting. But really, they're just.
I would say Trubisky, but I would only refer to him as Mr. Biscuit, which was his nickname, I guess, in college, right, just to see how long it would take to break him. Because that's got to be hard to hear just over and over and over and over. You know, question to you, Mr. Biscuit. Do you prefer, you know, Bears Navy or North Carolina Powder Blue?
Yeah.
Now, he did tell us that we could call him whatever we want. So But Dave, we asked Mitch or
call
Mitchell.
Him Dave.
George, question to you.
No, it's Mitch. Yes, but yeah. Thank you, Mike. Back to you, though.
You said you could. We could call you whatever, man. Hey, we'll take it all.
There's the thing. I mean, Kyle Long would be perfect, and Kyle was the first guest on this podcast we launched a couple years ago, and he certainly has a personality. I will throw this player out to you. Who we talk about players fans can gravitate to, if he could stay healthy, it would be Pernell McPhee. And he would be awesome on your podcast because he certainly has the hair, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And he's an extremely entertaining soundbite. And talent-wise, you know, his first 8 games his first year here, he was really damn good. Yeah. And then the knee injuries came. So let's, maybe he could be an option for you because that would be a very different conversation than you have with Kyle Long. But it'd be a pretty interesting one.
Well, when you see him next week or 2 weeks from now, just tell him, you know, hit us up on Twitter. We're always welcome.
Give him the Harlow card if we had cards. You should give him a card, but we don't have any.
I could do that. I could do that. He'd have a very interesting response knowing him, I imagine. We talked earlier about the Bears compared to the Bulls. And I want your take, what I consider an expert take about the way the Bears are observed and revered in this town, like the way fans treat them. And I think it's obviously unique compared to baseball because of the two teams. And I think because we all have to acknowledge that nothing greater will ever happen in the city of Chicago than 1985 Super Bowl. No matter, the Blackhawks could win 10 Stanley Cups in a row, and they would still not be as famous as the 85 Super Bowl Bears. What are your observations? As bad as this team's been over the past, 20 years, outside, a couple of years with the Lovey era, how this team is kind of honored by its fans?
I think it's always an interesting thing in Chicago, both how hard we are on the Bears, but also how protective we are of the Bears. Like, how many fights has anybody listening to this podcast gotten into with people who are Vikings fans or Packers fans? No matter what, you're still like protective of the Bears. They're almost like, it's almost like they're family. And I think that with the Bulls, you don't have that. I mean, for me anyway, you don't necessarily, and what I've seen, have that same sort of protectiveness. I think with the Bulls, we're much more likely to be like, yeah, they suck, don't they? Than we are to protect them.
Yeah, and everyone, your baseball allegiances may be split, but everyone, I use it lightly, loves the Bears. So all your fandom kind of goes into that funnel. And plus there's only, they only play 16 games. It's not like spread out over a long season. So I think people can get very invested and then very uninvested quickly. Yeah. Like I will watch the first 2 games of the season and then run away hiding every Sunday. But it's going to be interesting because obviously in football it's a lot harder to rebuild. You can't just draft a player and then all of a sudden your whole franchise is saved, which is, the route they would like to go. In baseball, it's easier. Basketball, because obviously there's less people on the field at once. It's a lot of math for you right there. So it'll be interesting to see because they should suck this year-ish relative to other teams. And that's okay and that's expected and you're building for the future. But the patience level runs quite low with Bears fans.
And last year, we finally kind of saw it in the stadium with the empty seats. I mean, I listeners of this podcast know that I'm a big fan of empty stadium photos that I tweet when I get to the stadium, even though all NFL stadiums kind of look alike. but I was able to kind of continue to update the empty stadium photo as the game wore on. And I'm looking at Christmas Eve, December 24th, the Cleveland Browns coming to Chicago.
That's not good.
There is real great potential there to be an interesting look at the stadium. But here's the difference this year is last year it was Matt Barkley. And I think if they're that bad this year, at least Mitch Trubisky, Mr. Biscuits, one would think could bring people to the seats. And it's obviously been a long time since the Bears had a quarterback that they drafted in the first round. But where are you guys at in terms of if Trubisky can be that guy that if it is things are bad, at least Bears fans stick around because they want to see him and at least keep the Bears relevant in this town because he's there as opposed to last year when you're just talking about Matt Barkley and David Fales?
Well, I think they have to do a better job of obviously, like, not listening to the fans, but just kind of taking a temperature of the fandom. If people are clamoring for him and the team isn't playing well, people are going to come if Trubisky is playing. If he's not playing, they're just going to kind of be like, once again, the Bears don't listen to us. They don't really care, you know, about our hopes and dreams and wants and needs. Because I think that's a big part of the reason why people weren't going to the games last year. It's just because they felt like, you know, this team's can do whatever they want. I don't need to be a part of it.
Well, I think it's also going to... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, let's not forget George McCaskey, you know, walked by some tailgaters one day and got support. So I'm sure everything's fine at Hallis Hall no matter what.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. That yeah, one yeah. time. Those yeah, people, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the Bears also are it's part of an NFL-wide trend. People aren't going to stadiums anymore because it's not the best place to watch a game. And I think I am not under any circumstance going to sit in the cold on the day when I should be baking while watching football instead of going to Soldier Field. Like, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me to do it. And I think there are more and more fans who are looking at it like, I don't really see the game that well. It's super expensive and not particularly easy to get to Soldier Field via public transit. Like it is to every other Chicago stadium. It's very easy. Soldier Field, it's a bit dicier.
I can hear it from my balcony, so I'll just stand outside with a megaphone yelling insults. Yeah. That's what I usually do.
I think it's also got to be more than just the product on the field that'll bring people to the seats. I think there are issues with going to NFL games that are affecting the NFL across the board, but then also with the Soldier Field in particular. It's super expensive to park. It's not easy to get to via public transit. When you get there, there are fights. You don't want to bring your kids to it. You know, there's all those sorts of other things that don't. The food is okay, not great. Mm. You know, there's all these
other
things.
You could just take your boat, though.
You could take your boat. And that's actually what I'll do.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So it's not even just that the team stinks. It's that there are so many obstacles to getting to a game or to enjoying the game. That, you know, no, I'm not going out on December 24th to watch the Bears play the Browns. Jeez.
I've talked about this on the podcast before. Is one of the things I try to tell Bears fans is when you go into a season like this, we'll go back to the Bulls comparison. If you're a Bulls fan, who are you interested in watching this year? You want to see Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. You want to see Markkanen. You want to see Denzel Valentine as anything worth being a player, but you know they're not going to be good. If you're a Bears fan, let's go on to the assumption here that Mike Glennon plays 16 games, so you're not going to see Trubisky, and you're not going to, as great as Kyle Long is as a player and as a social media guy and as an ambassador for the team, not a lot of people are going to the game to watch him play. So I always list the following players. I always say watch go Jordan Howard, Cameron Meredith, Leonard Floyd, Pernell McPhee. Like, those are the guys I tell Bears fans, watch this player, get excited about him. But I just read off those names, and it's hard for any Bears fan to be excited about those players I just mentioned, right? Because you just haven't seen enough of any of them, and none of them play quarterback, so you're kind of at a loss.
And there's no more Alshon Jeffries or Jeffrey singular anymore to watch.
True.
So that's
true.
A bummer.
We could get maybe we'll hear some Cameron Meredith's.
Yes,
or plurals. Kevin White. A lot of different ways we can do that. Let's get to the main part. I've really buried the lead on the Hair Low Chicago podcast. You two have always done a good job talking about Jay Cutler.
Are you using air quotes? Like, good job.
Great job. You know, and of course Kristen Cavallari. They were legends in this town. For different things. And actually, I believe a friend of your podcast, Tim Baffo, was on this podcast right at the end of the season. We talked about things we'll miss most about Jay Cutler. So from your perspectives, again, from where you're coming from, very smart Bears sports Chicago fan observers. I just threw a lot of SEO keywords in there.
That's good.
What are you going to miss most about Jay Cutler in Chicago?
His hair.
His hair is amazing, but like how expressive he is with his face, both good and bad. Like, I have that same problem that I cannot hide what I'm thinking or feeling with my face. Like, you're going to know exactly what I'm thinking. And Jay just, you knew when he was just over it. You knew when he was excited. Those times did happen. Like, and I'm just going to miss seeing that little bit on the sideline of, like, knowing exactly what he's thinking.
Well, just plus being on Twitter during a Jay Cutler start, like, if he sneezed the wrong way, everyone, like, the timeline blows up. And yeah. He throws, rarely he threw an interception.
So rare.
Then also the fans would. And then if he did something well, it was like, okay, but, you know, I really did enjoy seeing people try to, like, twist and turn because, I don't know if you know this, he's quite the polarizing figure.
People
did not like him, but I found him enjoyable. I mean, I didn't ever have to deal with him, but, like, just for the stories I heard from people who did interact with him on a daily basis, like, that perception versus his public perception was night and day. And like we said, the hair. I mean, he was our profile photo for Hair Hello Chicago for the first year and a half before he left, and then it was a sad, sad day.
Have you looked into Mark Sanchez as a replacement potentially for that?
Well, what I worry about with Sanchez is that he's going to be gone by midseason.
Yeah.
So that's, I just don't see him having a lot of playing potential. And he just seems kind of icky. And I just don't want to go follow the icky. But he does have some great hair.
Well, we can stick with Ryan Pace then for that.
Yeah.
I think we need like an expose. Like, where does he go to get his haircut? Is it the same person every time? Is it like a, because again, I have long hair, so it takes forever to get my hair cut. But for a guy with short hair, it has to be like in and out 15 minutes. I mean,
well, I will say that a couple Bears players have said that Zach Miller has the best hair on the team.
He does have pretty great hair. That's mm-hmm. true. That is something to get excited about. So, you know, like, there are players with good hair. There are players to get excited about. Pernell McPhee also great hair. So, you know, maybe
it's just hard because with the helmets on all the time. It's, and Jay's his post game press conference look was always entertaining.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
The suit with the big knot, sometimes camo for no reason or whatever, like, branded hat. But you could tell when Kristen was in town because then he would be like long sleeve shirt with a sweater over it, maybe a scarf. You know, she definitely yeah. decked him out.
And you both know, and John Sally knows this too, from all of our experience in terms of digital content, I would love it if Jay and Kristen moved back here, bought a house, and then put it on sale so we could have another slideshow about great pictures of their awesome house, rack in the web traffic, and then, you know, bid them adieu again if that's what happens. Look, this is the time for Jay Cutler to look out for those of us in the Chicago media.
Seriously, we could all use those clicks. And my very favorite part of that house was the Bulls logo
yeah.
on their basketball court.
Yeah.
I just have to assume that was there before they moved in. I can't picture them like putting that on there.
You don't think that he was good friends with, I don't know, Luol Deng, and they, you know, shot hoops together and put up a Bulls thing? I
don't remember who it was, but someone suggested that someone should buy the house and then all the Bears writers should go live in it during the season. So it could be like a real world Bears writers, which would be highly entertaining.
That would be very entertaining in a very inside baseball kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it could, or it could be like a very toned down version of the Dallas Cowboys White House, you know, their infamous house from the 90s.
toned down.
It'd be very toned down and very nerdy. With lots of, would there be a separate room where if you wanted to complain about the Bears media policies, you had to go in this room and it was kind of soundproof and you could just shout about with your frustration of the media policies. I don't know if you guys know this, that the winner of the Bears beat writers award for the good guy award for most friendly with the media has not returned to the team each year, 4 years in a row. So we
fantastic.
So it went from this is a common thread on this podcast. We talk about it almost every week because it's an amazing trend. But it was Josh McCown. Then it was
Josh. We love Josh.
Who doesn't love Josh? Then it was Ryan Mundy. and then Matt Slauson, and then this year Tracy Porter. So, you know, when if you see any Bears writers, you know, talk about how someone's good with the media, or if you are watching a press conference, or like, oh wow, this guy's, you know, really really good with the media, gives really interesting answers. Be careful, because if he gets our vote, he will not be back on the team.
He's done.
Nice knowing you, Prince Amukamara.
Yeah, seriously. Josh McCown, we will always miss very much, because he was just like the Josh J bromance was, it's kind of went under the radar, but man, it was fun.
And what was really fun for like the beat writers about that was we all kind of saw it inside Halas Hall. And of course, the national perspective of Jay is, how could Jay get along with anybody? And here he is getting along with the guy who is, you know, maybe should have taken his starting job for good. And that's what, and they're still good friends to this day.
Oh yeah. He was at Kristen's, was it 30th birthday party?
Yep.
That was very exciting. I might've gasped when I saw it on the Instagram. That was a proud moment.
Kristen did not invite you, Amanda?
No, you know, I work an early shift now. I start work at 7 a.m., so our schedules don't mesh. I'm not a big fan of her shoes. You know, she's really big into her shoe line, so I think there's some bad blood there. Also, most importantly, she makes cheeseless queso. Ooh.
I can't even talk about that. I can talk about that, because I'll just be angry. I mean,
literally, the word
angry.
Queso is cheese. So how are you making cheeseless queso, and more importantly, why?
I don't even know. I don't know where to go with that. Other than that, if it is real, it should not be legal to eat.
It's real. It's in her cookbook. Not that I've looked at her cookbook or had it for a couple of days, but yeah, it's in her cookbook.
Wow. Well, you know, it was unfortunate, because when this podcast launched back in September 2015, it was our ultimate goal to get Jay Cutler on the podcast. I will say, Maggie and Amanda, you guys were a close runner-up. We never got Jay. We still might get Jay maybe one day, now that he's in the media. Maybe
I say, he's like one of us, so you can just, you know, saddle on up to him.
I'm going to be at the Bears-Titans game, but I want to, like, have headphones into the feed so I can hear everything he says in his first broadcast.
I'm totally having a watch party. Like, and there needs to be complete silence. I need to hear Jay's thoughts and everything. It's going to be amazing. Like, that's got to be the most watched preseason game in Chicago in forever, right?
I would hope so, and I've you know, been beating the drum that he's gonna be good at that, and it might take him a few games, but it'd be great. You know, I think I counted it out. I don't remember the number. Something like 9 or 10 of the Bears games are actually on Fox, and a lot of them will kind of be slotted in which his broadcast team would potentially be it. Can you imagine if like they're really bad in December and Jay comes to town? I mean, he could just, and if he knows that some people are going to be, you know, if there could be changes, I mean, that could be a lot of fun. That could be a lot of entertainment if that's a situation.
Well, and he's going to be good, because he's always been very smart when talking about football. Like, when you ask him football questions, the answers are always very on point. And I really think he's going to have a great perspective to it. Quarterbacks usually have a little bit more understanding of everything that's going on. So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to him. And if it means he eviscerates the Bears, well, I'll tune in.
If Fox is smart, which is, you know, they should put him on every Bears game for ratings, because again, people are going to tune in to see Jay like make fun of the Bears, but like critically and, you know, analyze their craptacular play. I mean, that's like, that's perfect TV right there. So,
and I think there's something to be said, and this goes a little bit for Tony Romo, but I'm worried Tony Romo is going to be kind of bland, but there's something to be said about, in any sport, a color commentator talking about players that he played against as recently as a year ago. I mean, it's hard for me to think of any other sport that has something like that, where he could literally just sit up there and be like, oh, yeah, last year in practice, Cam Meredith did this, or last year the Packers sacked me doing this blitz. So I think that could be good for football fans, too.
And Clay Matthews said, I think he said it today in some interview, that he's going to miss Jay Cutler because he's going to miss being able to pad his stats, his sack stats.
Yeah,
pretty rough. But at the same time, like hearing what Cutler has to say about getting sacked by Clay Matthews, that's compelling. That's interesting. It's not even like the car crash or the drama thing. It's really an interesting perspective that you don't get to hear very often. So I hope he doesn't hold back. I hope he really just like goes headfirst into it. And well, that's probably the bad way to say it.
Yeah, no.
I really hope we really get to hear that side of him. Cause I agree with you about Romo. I think Romo is still going to be concerned about getting in with some team. So he's not going to be that critical. Plus they're putting him in such a big role to start with that it's kind of just setting it. I think they're setting him up to fail. But with Jay, they're easing him in, and I think he's a better soundbite than Romo ever has been.
Well, it's like when David Ross does Cubs games, he's still so close to them all. Like, he calls them by their first name. Like, he doesn't want to offend them. He doesn't really throw in, like, a lot of, like, inside baseball stuff. It's mm-hmm. all very, like, oh, I remember, you know, when I saw Anthony at the mall last week. It's like, no, I want, you know, I want some actual, like, baseball speak. I want some football speak. I think Jay will be much more likely to do that just because he appears to be a lot more blunt and just, like, off the top of my head.
Who's this David Ross you speak of? I haven't heard of him.
Yeah, we at the Tribune, we don't really cover him very much.
Not at all.
He was this world-famous catcher who danced his way into America's heart and now will not go away. I keep trying to make him disappear, and he won't go away.
The most amazing thing about David Ross to me is that he hit a really important home run in Game 7 of the World Series that no one seems to talk about when they talk about David Ross. Like, if we could talk about that home run, I would talk about that home run all the time. But it's usually his bedazzled jacket now.
Yeah, he just...
It was really nicely bedazzled.
Yeah.
Good for him, though. Good for Grandpa Ross.
Yeah, I'm going the other way now. It was cute, and now I want him to just go away for a little bit.
By the way, shout out to Clay Matthews. I should mention, 14 career games against Jay Cutler, 8.5 sacks. It's not like a... I don't know. I mean, it's a decent amount, but it's not crazy. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I'm gonna be a little bit of a Jay defender here.
Well, I guess it's the quarterback he's sacked the most is Cutler.
Okay, that probably is true because he does have more sacks against the Vikings, but that could be like six different quarterbacks.
Yeah,
also
Brett Favre could be in there. Yeah,
yes, true.
Clay Matthews, disgusting hair.
So before we go, any plug for the next Hairlow podcast? Do I have you guys now in Bears mode? Are you gonna talk Bears training camp?
Maybe. I don't know. We are, because of our schedules and my computer issues, we're probably not going to podcast this week, but listen for us next week. I mean, right now, baseball is definitely at the top of our minds, but I think once we start getting into training camp and seeing the players and getting to kind of jog our memory of them, I think we'll be more excited to talk about it.
Well, you know, we I don't want to say we've been negative about the Bears. I think we've been a little bit more realistic about the Bears and their chances and who they have. I don't think we said anything that nobody doesn't know, but you know, I think it'd be a lot of fun if, you know, come November they're 8-4 making a run, and we'll do this again, and we'll talk about how everyone's in love with Mike Glennon and you know, Pernell McPhee's gone on your podcast and who knows? Well, maybe that's the Cubs have just won the World Series again. Lauri Markkanen is just raining threes from downtown, and the city is saved.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun.
And then we'll all both have our boats and our private jets and cheese queso, not cheeseless queso. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for helping me save the city just now. Maggie Hendricks and Amanda Kashubi, go check out their podcast on iTunes, Hairlow Chicago, Hair L-O Chicago, and follow them on Twitter. Thanks so much for jumping on the Chicago Football Podcast with us.
Thank you.
If you're looking for a website to keep you up to date on all the latest news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, look no further than ProFootballWeekly.com. It's the place for all the best news around the league. You'll find breaking news, hard-hitting columns, video, photos, podcasts, and more. All 32 teams, 24/7, 365 days a year. While you're at it, catch up with all things NFL in our newsletter. Our NFL Daily Update will send you all of the news you need to keep up with the pace of the NFL. You'll get news, analysis, and more sent right to your inbox at noon, Monday through Friday. Sign up now to start getting NFL news during the week. Pro Football Weekly, bringing the best coverage in the NFL to its readers since 1967. Are you following us on social media? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ProFootballWeekly. Then head over to Twitter and follow PF Weekly and never miss an NFL update. There are plenty of ways for you to enjoy Pro Football Weekly, whether in print or online. If news breaks in the NFL, don't miss a thing and keep it at ProFootballWeekly.com. We now return to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Here's your host, Kevin Fishbane, talking all things Bears.
Big thank you again to Amanda and Maggie. That was a lot of fun. They are also very entertaining Twitter follows. And I wanted to give our listeners, it's July, it's not football season yet. You know, John, I thought that was just a little bit more fun, kind of a more culture look at where the Bears are, obviously kind of where the Bears stand compared to their team in Chicago. Not that we didn't need to get X's and O's, but I thought it's just kind of a fun and real take about what people think about this team and where this team is going.
It did, and it really did remind me of how much I dislike the Bulls and Gar Pax right now.
So the Bears have that going for them, and Ryan Pace is not Gar Foreman. But I think, as I said, when you go to training camp, fans go out to Bourbonnais, you know, keep an eye on these young stars, the Jordan Howards, the Leonard Floyds, you know, maybe Kevin White if he's healthy. Some of the new players, Marcus Cooper, if Pernell McPhee is ready to go. I think those are some fun players. It's a good offensive line. We'll get more into kind of the nitty gritty as we get into training camp. But, you know, if this team stays healthy, and this will be something I say a lot, they can certainly be competitive if the quarterback play is good. There's a lot of ifs I just threw out there. But we don't know. And right now there's just too much unknown with this team. Pro Football Talk ranked them 30th in the league in their power rankings. And it's hard to argue with that. But it's also hard to ignore how many guys were hurt last year. John, before we wrap up the show, I want to plug our Bear Necessities. They're coming back. It's everyone's favorite segment at the Pro Football Weekly Chicago page. What we do is we count down the 20 Bears that are, you know, most necessary for success. The Bear Necessities, thinking about the song from the Jungle Book. I know you're humming it in your head right now. And this is tough, John. This is the third year now, or maybe the fourth year we've done this. And this is the most difficult year. Obviously, the quarterback makes it tricky because, you know, Jay Cutler was number one the last 3 years, obviously. But can you say that about Mike Glennon? Can you really make him, call him the most important player for the Bears? I mean, yeah, if he's good, the Bears could be good. But it's hard to conceptualize that when you know Trubisky's right behind him.
Yeah, it is. And so I think I start looking at some of the defensive guys then. Maybe it's Leonard Floyd. Maybe it's a guy like Pernell McPhee. You start looking at those guys as potential number ones on the Bear Necessities countdown, because if you're calling a bridge quarterback the number one most important guy on your team, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me.
It almost puts us, John, in the potential Fox versus Pace situation, where the coaching staff they want Mike Glennon to be great, and Ryan Pace does too, certainly. But there's going to be a lot of focus in certain parts of Hallis Hall on Mitch Trubisky and his development too, in addition to what Mike Glennon does. So I even threw Trubisky out. You can make an argument that he is an important player to the success of this team if you think he's going to play this year.
There's a legit argument even if you don't think he's going to play this year.
Yeah.
Because his development is the future of your franchise. It's a bit of an extreme take, but I think it's reasonable.
It is. And look, as we talked about with Maggie and Amanda, you know, Kyle Long, as great as he is, you got to look at his position. Same with Cody Whitehair and Josh Sitton. Those might be three of the best players on the Bears. I mean, they could have the best interior offensive line in the league. But how important is that interior line, those individuals, to team success, just as a condition of the game of football, and the type of impact they're making in terms of game-changing plays. I think you hit on the head with McPhee and Floyd. Expect to see those two in the top five. Another one, John, that should be very high on that list, I think, is Jordan Howard. Absolutely. I think you can argue that Jordan Howard may be the most important player to this team. I'm not saying he's going to be number one. We don't know yet, but I'll throw out that thought exercise. How do you feel about Jordan Howard potentially being number one for Bear Necessities?
You know, there's a handful of guys there where you can make the argument. If you want to look at 2017 success and development, you've got a second-year running back who is now the guy and is the most important guy on offense on a team that should run the ball more. So, when you look at it through that perspective, Jordan Howard could easily be the number one most important Bear to the team this year.
He's the best player on offense, certainly. You know, he's the best weapon that we can use. So keep an eye out that. So if you're not following, hopefully you're following at Bears_Insider. Each day we've got a different poll going up around 9:30, 10 a.m. Give you the results from the previous day. Right now I'm focusing just position by position to try to see who you think, because some of these positions are pretty close, who you think is most important. Before I wrap up really quickly, John, I was fascinated by our wide receiver poll asking fans most important receiver. Kevin White in a runaway won that.
Absolutely.
And I think it's interesting because if he's the Kevin White that the Bears thought he was 2 years ago, that's obviously. But Cam Meredith is somebody the Bears are really excited about, and we know more about Cam Meredith than we know Kevin White. Maybe Kevin White's got a higher ceiling, but I thought that was interesting that Kevin White ran away with that.
Number 7 overall pick versus an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, that's where it is. And Kevin White's still got to be a foundation guy for this team. So go check out those polls, vote in them. We will be releasing the Bear Necessities 20 through 11, the Monday before camp, and then 10 through 1, the Tuesday, July 25th, right before we head to Bourbonnais. So big thank yous to my executive producer, Dan Mott, of course, and to Maggie Hendricks and Amanda Kashubi for joining the show. John Sally, my associate producer, thank you as always to all of you for listening. Thank you. Be sure you subscribe Pro Football Weekly Chicago on iTunes and check out all of our work. ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears training camp is just around the corner. More Bears talk coming at you soon.